Seeing that drunk Santa wet himself really perked up my Christmas.
Disaster. Like eating a burrito before sex.
Alright. Welcome to our annual Christmas-themed episode and our Season 7 finale. Tonight we have a special guest, usually regular... Wow, that fucked up right away. Tonight, we have a special guest, usually relegated and prominently featured on our Thanksgiving-themed episodes. Well, we decided to change it up a bit this season, so welcome to That Santa Jaws episode, featuring our special guest, Dave the Orca Rodriguez. Only he can slay the giant beast of a flick. Welcome to THSP. Say hello, my little elves on the shelf. What's going on, guys?
When did I become an orca?
You're a boat.
Yeah, you know, I thought Dave lost all that weight. Am I correct?
I'm much more of a porpoise, I think. I'm a little more sleek. You know,
I
can sift through the water. You can come wave to me at Shedd Aquarium. How's it going? It's me. No, how's it going, guys? This is weird. I would have already been on usually. And this year now, it's like, you know, the stockings are up. There's a Christmas tree in the corner. Like, this is odd.
Yeah, usually when you join us, we have like a Thanksgiving dinner out. And, you know, you're mostly hogging all the gravy and all the other condiments on the table. But
and the cranberry sauce.
Lots of bread. Small and lots of bread. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And usually... guzzling some cheap box wine, but
that's not cranberry sauce.
Yeah,
but
Tour de France, yeah,
right. But we've been so busy with our Empire Pictures retrospective that we decided to push this back to a Christmas themed horror movie episode. But I was also going to ask real quick, Dave. It's been a while since you've done the podcasting, because I do believe we were talking about this off air, but you don't have to go into any specifics, but I'm just saying it's been a while. You know, I guess Sequel This is on hiatus for a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, life kind of gets in the way, and Mark and I had, you know, some discussions about it, and we just both mutually felt like, you know, let's take a break, and, you know, he's focusing on his writing and I'm focusing on kind of my things. And I had a lot going on, and you know, it's not that, you know, we didn't close the door on us revisiting it at some point, but, you know, for now we're just taking a breather and stuff like that. Right. So I'm, you know, I'm just kind of a free agent to do kind of one-offs like today with you gentlemen.
Yes,
guys, apparently there's some sort of contract I signed for 10 years, and this is what, year 7?
I just
doing this shit?
I just want to remind
you. Dave, you drink too much. That's why you signed it.
I just want to let you know that I was not responsible for that. I don't see how we can live up to a binding contract, but if Tim says you signed it, then Tim says you signed it. So you're stuck with us for 10 years. Non-negotiable.
Four more years left.
Tim's got very good lawyers.
Yeah.
Do we cheat him and how?
But no. So, but basically, you know, at this point, Sequel This is not off the table. I mean, like, at some point, I'm willing to bet you guys will jump back into the podcasting and regale us with a sequel idea. down the road.
We shall see. You know, Mark and I, obviously, you know, he's my best friend. We talk all the time. You know, nothing is off the table. I think it's one of those things that, as of right now, you know, this is you know, a better way to do it. And, you know, at some point, if we get the itch, you know, who knows? So it's you know, I really can't answer definitively either way, but we'll see.
Yeah, stay tuned. But I will say this, getting you to be on this show once a year to do this type of thing is, whenever Tim usually talks to you, because I'm been busy myself, but whenever I mention to Tim, hey, have you reminded Dave that he's going to have to participate in our yearly Thanksgiving or Christmas episode?
Yeah, I usually start talking about August.
Or Dave's already like making excuses, like, I got plans going on. And it's like, no, we know you don't. Oh, really?
I mean, tonight I had to hurry mowing my cat in order to make this podcast. I have things that I do.
Yes.
Okay. I'm very, very busy.
Oh, Dave, your lies are overwhelming.
I'm very busy.
He's busy washing.
You know?
He's busy washing and blow drying the cat.
I've taken up quilting, okay? I macrame, all sorts of fun stuff.
He bedazzles.
I don't even know.
I bedazzle. Have you practically given up on your cinematic career of becoming a famous actor in Guam?
He's retired.
Now my life is like a home ec class. Like, we just do activities with beads and glue. And that is my entire life, is beads, glue, and construction paper.
Oh, my God.
And we have a great time.
Are you at a senior center, Dave?
Sounds like a life.
I'm sorry?
Are you at a senior center?
No. This is just how I choose. This is how I choose to live. Tim, don't get judgy. You know, I mean, this is my life. I'm having fun. You know, I'm enjoying my activities, my crafts. You know, I'm actually in the market for a kiln so I can start doing a pottery. I want to start making pots and various items. And if you're good, maybe I'll send you one for the holidays.
Oh.
You know,
I suspect you're lying. It doesn't sound like you're being very sincere.
I'm telling you, when you see a picture of me with a kiln, like, you know, just hugging it, you'll know. We're Facebook friends. You know I'll post that.
Well, I expect to see that, Dave. I expect to see it by tomorrow.
It's going to be
at 3 in the afternoon.
It's going to be good. There's shipping delays. I mean, come on, it's COVID. I mean, we have to account for the current state of society.
Once again, Dave, your lies are overwhelming.
We know how it is.
The current state of society, Chris.
It's got to go through China.
We don't want to your idealized vision of reality. This isn't the Matrix.
Hey, Chris, don't you realize that when Dave ships something, it's got to go from Plainfield to China, then back through the ports to get to Bolingbrook.
Oh, my God. You got to figure out your shipping issues there, Davey.
It's not very logistically sound.
Tim lives in Minnesota, so they still have like the carrier pigeons. Tim just puts on the glove and it's like, "What nah!" And
hey,
the pigeon gets on his arm, and then Tim puts the paper in its beak and it go on, and then the thing quick, and it flies off. And
you know what though? I've told Tim, why don't you just do it my way, which is write on a piece of paper and fold it as a little plane and fly it out the window.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. We got the Pony Express here last week. Come on.
Tim, I mean, seriously, I saw like a crow or like a raven like fly in, swoop into my front porch and deliver Tim's Christmas card. I'm like, oh, this is nice.
Dave, there are some areas around here that have yet to receive the telegraph machine. That just shows you how far behind we are.
You just wait till the high school gets that telegraph machine. Things will start popping.
Well, that's when someone reads about how Marconi invented it back in the 1800s.
Well, soon you guys are going to be doing that horror show podcast, and it's going to be, you know, Chris on Skype talking, and Tim is just going to have to key in on Morse code.
Yes, see, Chris is just going
to be like, "How do you feel about that movie?" And you're just going to hear. And Chris is going to have to take out his little Orphan Annie decoder pin in order to figure out what is being said. Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
What?
That's from the commercial? See, that's a holiday call out.
Yeah, you know what?
I was going to say, you've already won us over, Dave, by doing that. Thank you, good sir.
You're not done yet.
For the uninitiated, that's from Christmas Story. But if you're listening to the show and you don't know that that's from A Christmas Story, it's like, whoa. Just saying.
But besides that, Dave, everything has been going very well with you.
Absolutely. Have a new house. We moved, and yeah, it's great. It's great to actually like own a house, because we were renting for like the longest time. So now it's like it being our house. It's just cool, you know. If I want to change the cabinets or countertops or carpet or whatever, I can do it because it's mine.
Now, Dave, I have to ask this real quick, Dave. So when you bought the house, all right, when you arrived there, was it like a luxurious home that was brand new, or was it like Tom Hanks in The Money Pit?
Well, it's not a brand new house. The house was built, you know, a few years ago, but it's not an old house, but it's not like a brand new, you know, new construction house.
When the door opened, it's like their shingles fall.
No, it's definitely not a money pit. It's a nice house. Actually, like, I have a fire pit and I have a deck and finished basement and the whole nine yards. That's actually where I'm recording right now, is from my finished basement, and plenty of room for my arcade machines and all my movies and games and all my fun stuff. I have my man cave. So,
well, you know, one day we should record an episode at your house. So, you know, I mean, one day when Tim visits, and, you know,
I'd make a trip for that. Yeah.
Oh, me too. I mean,
I don't allow such riffraff in my house.
I see how it is. I see.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris.
It's just riffraff.
Yeah.
You know, this is a neighborhood of learned doctors.
And Dave.
It's ironic because I've never seen Dave read a book in his life, but okay.
I don't read in public.
Or in private.
When Dave reads the Encyclopedia Britannica, he like picks it up upside down and he thinks it's in Morse code.
No, I read the dictionary like a lifer inmate. I want to learn a new word every day and then use it inappropriately. Yes, I'm feeling quite ubiquitous right now.
Yeah, you say that while you're in the shower and someone tells you to pick up the soap.
Right.
Do you know what word I learned today? Ubiquitous.
Yeah, that'd be like, why don't you ubiquitously bend over?
Sucker.
Dave's like, oh, okay. So terrifying.
Oh, I would be a terrible inmate. I'm too dark and friendly.
I can see.
I would be a horrible inmate.
I can see a prisoner selling you for a pack of smokes, dude. So it's like,
oh yeah, I would be in big trouble. That's really? Why I try to walk the straight and narrow.
yes, Dave, try as you might.
I was like, Chris, really, a whole pack?
Oh, maybe a carton. Maybe a carton or two. I don't know.
The price,
hey, Chris. Chris values this.
I'm lowering the price. Chris is raising the price.
He knows what a piece of ass this is.
Well, there's no denying that.
I just want to remind our audience. I real quick, guys. I want to remind the audience, if they made it this far, just let you know. you know, beware, you know.
Yeah.
Abandon all hope, ye who enter here, okay?
It's only going to get worse.
And it will never get better.
with that said, gentlemen, we should get this train back on the tracks, okay?
All right.
All right. So, now, before we get into the main gift sitting under the THSB Christmas tree, we have to hit up our stocking stuffer first. So let's head over to the Kids Corner segment with Nate, where he chats about the movie Venom from 2018. We'll be right back after this, guys.
Welcome to Kids Corner. I'm Nate, and that's my dad.
Hey, that's me. At Kids Corner, we talk about kids and family-friendly horror flicks.
So enjoy the segment.
You should be extremely afraid.
Thank you for bringing us collectively to this moment. It is a moment that so many have dreamed of claiming. History starts today.
The guy you work for is an evil person.
I don't work for him. My firm works for him. Are you going to behave yourself tomorrow?
I told you I'm going to do my job.
I'm a reporter. I follow people that do not want to be followed.
What about the allegations that you recruit the most vulnerable for tests that end up killing people?
Your time to go.
You're finished, Mr. Brock.
Is that a threat?
You had to learn how to hide in plain sight. I'm pretty good at it. But you suck. Whoever you are.
I work at the Life Foundation, and I need your help. We found something. We call them symbiotes. Carlton Drake believes that the union between human and symbiote is the key to our evolution.
I'm feeling really sick. I'm hearing a voice.
Not real. You were just in my head.
I'm gonna need Mr. Drake's property back.
I don't know.
Why would we do that?
If you're gonna stay, you will only hurt bad people.
The way I see it, we can do whatever we want. Do we have a deal?
Willing to sacrifice the one thing you hold most dear.
You should be extremely afraid.
What the hell are you?
We are Venom.
Hey guys, welcome back to Kids Corner. I'm Nate, joined by my father, Tim.
My father, Tim, the new hit TV show on ABC, Friday nights, 7 to 7:30 Central. Yeah. So, Nate, we're here. This is the season finale of That Horror Show Podcast and
2021.
Correct. And Kids Corner.
For 2021.
Correct. We'll be back in the spring of 2022 with brand new episodes, obviously, of That Horror Show Podcast and Kids Corner. So, Nate, why don't you tell the dear listeners what we'll be reviewing on our season finale?
For the first time in a long time, finally, we watched Finding Nemo! What?
Why?
I don't know.
Okay, so... In reality, what do we watch? What we review today?
Venom.
The 2018 film. So, Nate, why don't you read us the synopsis provided by the fine people over at Wikipedia?
What's a Wikipedia?
What's a Wikipedia with you?
Okay. Venom is a 2018 American superhero film featuring Marvel Comics and the character of the same name. Produced by Columbia Pictures and associated with Marvel and Tent Pictures. It's the first film from Sony's Spider-Man universe. And it was directed by Ruben Fleischer. From screenplay by Jeff Pinkner. Scott Rosenberg. And Kelly Marcel. The film stars Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock and Venom, alongside Michelle Williams, Riz Ahmed, Scott Hayes, and Reed Scott. In the film, journalist Brock gains superpowers after becoming the hosts of an alien symbiote whose species plans to invade Earth.
Okay, so Nate, how did you like this movie on a scale of 1 to 10?
1,000.
No, but seriously, on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being the worst and 10 being the best.
1,000. Fine, 10.
Okay. All right, so name your top 3 or 4 favorite parts.
One of my favorite parts was when he was in the motorbike on the air, and he fell off it, but then Venom trapped him back down to the bike.
Okay. He was flying through the streets of was it San Francisco?
Yeah, San Francisco.
And and he goes flying off the he goes flying over this large hill, and he loses control of the bike, and Venom goes, "Nope, we're back," kind of thing. Yeah, I like that. I thought that was pretty funny.
My second favorite part was the apartment scene where he absolutely demolished all those guys.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty funny. Okay, and third and favorite final moment of the film.
Probably, I don't really have a third favorite part. Okay.
I can tell you one of my favorite parts. It's towards the end of the movie, and it's where the Venom leaves Eddie Brock's body, and Eddie Brock is very, very sick. And he's, like, I think in prison, or, you know, the bad guys capture him. And Michelle Williams, his girlfriend / fiance, on and off, you know, romantic partner, gets the symbiote, and she's now the female Venom. And she goes to rescue him. And I love the back and forth between the both of them. All three characters, Michelle Williams' character, Venom, and Tom Hardy. I thought that was hilarious. I really enjoyed Venom for the most part. I thought it was a lot of fun, a little jokey, maybe almost too jokey in some parts. But I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. I would give it a thumbs up. Nate, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, 1 being not scary, 10 being scary, how would you rate this as for scariness factor?
So 10 is not scary?
No, 10 is scary. 1 is not scary.
1.
One not scary. So that's cool. So you would recommend this to your fourth grade friends, right?
Yes.
And what would you say to them? What would you tell them if they have never seen the movie and you're trying to sell them on trying to watch the movie?
Probably go read the comics first.
Okay. And what happens if they say, "I don't read comics"?
I give up.
Well, that's not the attitude to have.
Yeah.
Okay, so you would recommend this to your fourth grade friends.
Yes.
And you said it's not scary at all. From a parental aspect, it's not. It's superhero violence. It's not Deadpool violence. There's not a lot of swearing at all. I think maybe a couple of shits were said in the movie. But no F-bombs, obviously.
Well, there's an F-bomb in the second movie.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
We're not there. Don't speed the train along the tracks already. We will be covering Venom 2 Let There Be Carnage in 2022. And that's a lot to say about that because I don't want to give away any spoilers beforehand. So, Nate, in closing, why don't you, you have anything else you'd like to say?
Poopy!
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay.
So I believe we kind of, you know, we briefly covered Venom.
Everything.
At Venom. You named your top three favorite parts. You would recommend to a friend.
Top two.
Top two. Yeah. So with that, Nate, you want to close us out?
Yep. Bye. See you next year.
Merry Christmas from Nate and THSP and Kids Corner. We'll see you next year. Have a happy new year. Stay safe. And we hope you'll listen and tune in for season 8 of THSP. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Okay, guys, so before we have Dave start his wonderful synopsis of this Oscar-winning film, let's first roll the trailer for Santa Jaws.
Can't believe you would do this on Christmas Eve.
You're grounded.
What? Tomorrow is the Christmas Eve comic book party.
Well, you should have thought of that before.
You're better off without him. Isn't that right, Santa Jaws?
Cody!
That is not a shark! That is Santa Jaws! I know her! I made her! That is her!
Okay, Dave.
The trailer?
And with that, David, take it away, sir. You handsome son of an elf.
I mean, it's a valid question. I did not know.
Well, this movie did get released, so therefore it did have a trailer. So, you know.
Released where?
On Sci-Fi and Amazon Prime.
Oh, jeez. All right.
Are you too good for Sci-Fi, Dave?
Jeez. All right. Well, guys, Thanksgiving came and went. I stuck my head out of my hidey hole like a groundhog looking for its shadow so I could screw everyone over with 6 more weeks of winter. I had done it. I had gone through a Thanksgiving without having to do a synopsis for an awful film with my supposed friends at that horror show podcast. I thought I had escaped without having to watch such classics as Thanksgiving. But then my phone vibrated, signaling that I wasn't out of the woods yet, but lost in them Blair Witch style. Instead of ruining my Thanksgiving, they wanted to ruin Christmas this year. Grinches, the lot of you.
Hey, Dave, we're equal opportunity offenders. We can't help it.
Apparently. Apparently.
We don't deny it.
Like being excited Christmas morning to get that toy you want, only to open the box up and get a used jockstrap and a urinal cake. Yes, these items can be utilized in some way, but is this really what you wanted? No, they aren't at all. So here I am again, a few weeks later, but no less miserable as usual, ready to write a synopsis for another film that Tim and Chris dug out of a stew bowl filled with farts and sadness. So gather round to hear the tale of Santa Jaws, a combo of two things that are good individually, but together go about as well as shitting and eating. So, the film starts with haggard, drunken-looking Santa getting ready to sacrifice a young, somewhat attractive girl to a shark. Okie dokie. Definitely a scenario I've been a part of a time or two. So, some random young guy, the boyfriend of the girl, I'm assuming, jumps out to challenge Santa to a fist fight by saying, "No sugar cookies for you. You're going to eat your words. Them fighting words. Where is it?" Anyway, the movie looks like it was made with a camcorder in 1982 so far. So, cue a badly choreographed fight scene, which ensues, where both Santa and the random guy land punches. Santa's got a decent right cross. Anyway, this leads to Santa getting knocked into the water and getting eaten by a giant shark, as the guy says something along the lines of, "Go to Santa hell!" I hate everything. The whole movie doesn't look like it was a student film from the 80s, as we're in fact watching the events of a comic book that was drawn by our main character, Cody. Or as I would like to refer to him, Edward Failong. Because, I mean, this kid studied young Edward Furlong's early career to a T, because he's pretty much exactly like him, except he can't act at all. But I digress. Good old Eddie is a normal kid who works or hangs out at a comic book store. I didn't really pay attention. And drew a comic called Santa Jaws. Quite the brooding artistic one, isn't he? Anyway, apparently there's going to be quite a soiree at the comic book store, which is where all the cool kids hang out this evening for the holidays. So cue a bike riding montage with fun Christmas music playing in the background. It feels like Home Alone if Home Alone were awful and starred Edward Failong. So upon getting home, we get to see him spying on his cute new neighbor like a perv and then get to meet the fam. There's his mom, who seems like a giant bitch. I mean, what mother wouldn't embrace the don't care attitude and snark of good old Failong? His dad, who is a science or math teacher or something, I didn't totally pay attention to plot minutia in a film called Santa Jaws. We also get to meet his uncle, who apparently has mad cheddar. Is that how the kids refer to money these days? I'm not totally sure, but I digress. And a young, hot girlfriend, who is a complete stupid ass. I mean, I get that the character is supposed to be ditzy, but this actress should win an Academy Award for dumbassery. I don't think one can act this stupid. I personally think the person playing this woman really is this dumb. I mean, she accepted a part in a film called Santa Jaws. Nuff said. And lastly, we get to meet Eddie's pawpaw, who seems like a lovely old chap. Well, Failong is in hot water with his parents after they get a call from the dreaded principal of Matuzzi about an offensive drawing he did. How dare Matuzzi stifle creative freedom and expression? Well, his mom grounds him and says he can't go to the party. Tear the kid's heart out and stomp on it. Why don't you, Mama Failong? Well, this leads to our hero stomping up the stairs, pulling out a mystical dildo-looking thing slash pen his grandfather apparently gave him. But at this point, we don't know. It's mystical or whatever. And say out loud that he wishes he were alone. He then proceeds to draw none other than Santa Jaws, which apparently tuckers him out and he goes to sleep. Drawing Santa Jaws is like artistic warm milk. Awakened by Pawpaw with no pants dancing. All balls bouncing in the breeze while singing Christmas carols. What kind of movie is this, Tim and Chris?
Hey, we didn't make it.
Just kidding.
We didn't just make kidding. It.
Just kidding. Pawpaw does wake up young Failong to let him know he's going to break him out of grounded jail so they can go on their yearly Christmas Eve fishing trip. Because if there's one thing you want to do the day before Christmas, it would be fishing. Maybe it's a Jesus callback. You know, give a man a fish, he eats for a day, but teach a man to fish and he stars in a shitty movie. Something like that. So after tripping in his front yard in front of the new neighbor girl he wants to impress, Fairlong goes with Pawpaw to fish. They have quality Pawpaw Fairlong time, talking about how our hero was nervous about talking to the neighbor girl while Pawpaw decides to partake in some of his famous spiked eggnog. Pawpaw may be an alcoholic, as it appears it's early in the morning and the man is a hankering for some alcohol. But as the film is about to explore Pawpaw's past, which causes addiction to all things liquor, Santa Jaws jumps out of the water and eats Pawpaw. Fairlong looks surprised, but not quite as terrified as one should be had they witnessed their grandfather getting eaten by a Santa hat-wearing shark. Surprisingly composed, if you will. Could be a great ability to deal with trauma or bad acting, you be the judge. Fairlong rushes home to tell his parents, who of course do not believe him. It's such a believable story, I don't understand why a parent wouldn't believe that Pawpaw got eaten by a giant Santa hat wearing shark. Bitchy mom says Fairlong can't leave the house and the rest of the family go to mom's restaurant for some Christmas Eve dinner thingy or something. Who cares? Well, of course. Fairlong can't let the town get eaten by a shark of his creation, so he escapes his house after a chocolate-eating sequence by walking out the front door and heads to the comic book shop. Meeting with comic book store owner guy and his annoying friend who apparently wrote the Santa Jaws comic book, he tries to convince him that Santa Jaws is out there and killing people. Fairlong's annoying friend goes through the origin story of Santa Jaws because we all care. See? The shark ate an evil Santa Claus that gave it powers and now it roams the oceans alone or something along those lines. I watched that part while taking a shit, so I didn't pay the closest attention. Anywho, Fairlong and friend go to investigate at the dock. The guys investigate Sherlock Holmes style and find a thermos that appears chewed that housed Pawpaw's alcoholic medicine. I want to investigate why Tim and Chris take such pleasure in having me watch these things. But I digress. So, the two realize that they need to get the comic back from the neighbor girl, who was given the comic from creepy comic book store owner man. Cut to Unk and his way too young for him girlfriend slash wife or whatever on the boat. She, of course, comes out in a bikini, and while she does have a nice body, it does not detract from her annoyingness. Oh, and spoiler alert, no nudity in this film. So I don't even have that to look forward to.
You know what? Real quick, that is one of the major disappointments of this movie. I mean, I understand it was made for Sci-Fi Channel, but it's still cable.
So. I totally agree. I think nudity was a missed opportunity.
It is.
100%.
All right.
So, of course, the motor isn't working. And Unk needs to investigate while girlfriend jumps into a floaty so she can take selfies. Unk finds Christmas lights are wrapped around the propeller, which isn't odd at all. Of course, while reaching down, Unk gets eaten by Santa Jaws that you can see coming as he has a Christmas hat on his fin. Scary stuff. The girl gets out of the water just in time, damn it. And runs to the restaurant to let Mama and Papa Fairlong know that Unk was killed. Cut to the boys going to see the girl to get the comic. She, of course, left the comic on her dad's boat, but suggests they run there, and off they go. They get the comic, but come across an elf costume wearing hobo, being drunk and jolly. I wish this guy were the star of the film. I would watch 90 minutes of this guy stumbling around, shitting off the dock, and just being involved in homeless hijinks. But alas, this film is not about giving you what you want. It takes.
I know, but to remind you of the old biblical saying, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. So.
Yes. No. This film takes more than the Lord should. Just should. Cool. Well, Santa Jaws comes around the corner, knocks into the boat, and crushes the hobo's legs. Hobo walks forward on stumps, and in an epic CGI moment, Santa Jaws jumps out of the water and eats said hobo in front of the children. Won't anyone think of the children, for God's sake? Well, the rest of the kids know that Fei Long was telling the truth, and they set out to kill the beast. They go to the comic book store and obtain weapons that comic book store man apparently has. Fei Long also realizes that his wish is why Santa Jaws has manifested and is killing people. And if they don't stop the shark before the boat parade, many will die. This is the point where the movie kicks into high gear. Not really. But I will kick this synopsis into high gear because this isn't exactly an Oscar-winning plot that needs to be intimately explored. Papa and Mama Fei Long investigate Unk's boat, have a close encounter with Santa Jaws, and then begin to believe. The kids get weapons and attempt to kill the shark, but of course they can't. Then they realize that the pen is the reason why the shark exists and want to use the pen to destroy it, along with Christmas-themed items like a sharp candy cane. I can't make this stuff up, folks. Fei Long's annoying friend dies, as does Unk's lady friend, after being lassoed by Christmas lights. I actually thought that this was a somewhat clever way to kill her. Even though, how do Christmas lights stay lit underwater, not being plugged in? I mean, is Santa Jaws a power outlet? I wanted to see someone get choked with tinsel or smacked with a stocking. But maybe that will happen in the sequel I hope never comes. Because I will have to watch it for this wretched show. Kids left the pen on the floor, which the comic book store guy snags, figures out of Grant's wishes, and suddenly has a lot of money, a nice car, and a hot Russian girl on his arm. The kids demand he return the pen, but he flees, speeding away in his sports car while the kids somehow magically keep up on bikes. He's very slowly getting away.
I mean, because he wished...
Huh?
It's because he wished for a 50s car with a terrible engine.
Either comic book store man is riding the brake or the kids are all Lance Armstrong. It's one or the other. Either way, they confront him on the dock and the girl lunges towards comic book man and they fall in the water. The girl snags the pen and throws it to Fei Long as comic book man gets eaten by Santa Jaws. Fei Long's crush tries to get out of the water but can't in time and gets eaten. Fei Long is heartbroken, but you wouldn't know it because, well, bad acting. Anyway, Fei Long and brother meet up with parents and they develop a Home Alone style plan to take out the shark involving turkeys and explosives. They even have Home Alone-esque music playing as they prepare their trap for the wet bandits. Santa Jaws. Well, they launch the turkeys at the shark, but the plan goes somewhat awry as Papa and brother Fei Long both get killed by the shark. However, Fei Long shoots a turkey that is right by the shark's mouth, seemingly blowing it up. However, like any horror movie, good or bad, the killer isn't truly dead, and it lunges up and slowly chomps on Mama Fei Long. It's actually somewhat humorous as this shark slowly chomps up her body as she's screaming. Pretty goddamn ridiculous. Fei Long realizes that he can use the pen to wish the shark dead and his family back. So he does, and then burns the comic, which glows green. Talk about an epic climax. I need a cigarette and a plunger. The movie cuts to Fei Long in bed, waking up on Christmas morning. Magically, everyone is alive and well downstairs, celebrating the magic of Christmas. Fei Long is so happy that his family is alive and well. He goes to the neighbor girl's house to see her. She gives him the Santa Jaws comic and compliments his artwork. Look at lover boy Fei Long go. Get you some, young man. Fei Long then burns the Santa Jaws comic, but keeps the pen, which could lead to more hijinks in the future. A sequel, perhaps? Santa Jaws 2, Back in the Habit? Santa Jaws 2, The Eye of Braxis? Live Free or Santa Jaws? The possibilities are endless. So that is it. Now, you all don't have to watch this movie because I suffered for your sins.
We don't think you suffered enough, though. That's
the movie wasn't the worst piece of shit I've had to watch for this show. But it's definitely not what I would call good at all. Or even bad good. It was bad, bad. So in closing, I hate you both, and happy holidays! So that is the synopsis.
Wow, bravo.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know what? Every year when we bring you on here, it's almost like we say, Tim and I kind of sort of say to ourselves, is Dave going to top it, you know, from the previous, his previous guest spot, you know, in terms of his plot synopsis? And I'm never disappointed. I don't think I've ever walked away not laughing, or at least chuckling. So,
well, that'll be next year, so I don't have to be on the show anymore.
Oh, no.
Very disappointed.
No. That contract still stands, Dave. That contract still stands. Non-negotiable. But
no, I'll be on the show. It'll just be a terrible synopsis.
Oh, a terrible
one. What day is you come back? The end.
Yeah, but...
I'm glad you guys liked it.
Thank you for enduring the movie to write about it, because, you know, I think I would have been like, I don't know how I'm supposed to write about a movie like this. This is like, this is difficult.
Yes.
But Dave always finds that humorous silver lining in something so awful as a movie like Santa Jaws or Home Sweet Home.
Well, I think it's easy. I mean, you can tell. The one thing I will say about this movie, in all seriousness, is that it definitely doesn't take itself too seriously, which I can appreciate when a film doesn't.
Yeah.
However, it's still not what I would call well done, like even for a fun, bad movie. Like I'll give you like Sharknado is a good, bad movie. The first
one. Really?
I like it because it's so stupid. Right, it's so stupid that it's fun. But this movie was so stupid that it was stupid. Like, was just stupid.
I was telling Tim this. I said, on a technical level, it's not badly shot, edited, or acted. I mean, none of it's great either. But I think its problem, though, in terms of when I was watching it, was like, it doesn't take itself seriously, but it's like, they try to add some sense of earnestness to it when, you know, it's a movie called Santa Jaws. And again, it's one of those movies where you know for a fact that the people that made it basically looked at an image of a shark and said, what kind of shark movie can we do that no one else has done? But it would be so stupid. And then somebody, like, drew a picture of the hat on the fin. and then someone goes, oh, that what can we do? Santa Jaws. Oh, okay. And it writes itself.
Huzzah!
Yeah. And it's a shame. But you know what, though? This movie would have worked a lot better if it was, like, in the style of Airplane, you know? But it, like, where it's extremely self-aware of its stupidity and silliness. But the other thing is, like, there were a lot of missed opportunities. Like, I'm surprised no one in this movie, like, had a character named Finn. <You know? laughs> but I consider it
a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it is a missed opportunity. But I mean, I get the intention of it, but I do agree with you. It's one of those. It's not even like a fun bad movie. It's just like it's just a stupid movie. It doesn't even like it. The movie has to hold itself together based off of its title and its image of the shark wearing a Santa hat on its fin.
Yeah.
It's all going for it. And by the way, even the awful CGI effects cannot make it any better.
They truly are the worst. even for sci-fi standards.
Yeah. I mean,
there's a scene where they're chucking candy canes or chucking spears or sharp sticks at this thing, at the shark. And you could see a javelin or something, like that, and they throw it, and the first guy misses, and then the girl or the would-be girlfriend takes it, and she throws and she hits it, but it looks like such a horribly rendered computer graphic scene from like the old PS1 days, Dave, where it doesn't even it just doesn't it just bounce it looks like it hits it, but it doesn't, and then it disappears.
Well, you mentioned
javelin. I think what the filmmakers were trying to channel was Dave's favorite slasher movie, Fatal Games.
Oh,
I remember. that's a deep cut. Oh man.
But I was watching this, and you know, like I said, it's like it's not extremely badly made, but it's like. Yeah. Like, even the concept of it is, like, they seem like they have no idea where to take it. It's like, you know, how – remember how the two main characters come up with the idea of Santa Jaws? But it's like when you see the opening of the comic book with this Santa Claus character going to sacrifice this woman to a shark, and he ends up falling in the water and gets eaten, and then it's like it goes nowhere after that because these two dummies can't think of a story to go along with it. But at the same time, it doesn't explain very well why is it Santa Jaws? Why is it the concept of – is it because the shark ate Santa in the water and became a vengeful shark called Santa Jaws? Or is this just some, I don't know, half-assed, lame-brained idea devised by someone who clearly was like trying to find the next Sharknado?
I'm going with the latter.
The answer is yes.
Yeah. Well, so – I was talking to Dave. We were conversing over this. We were playing video games like last Saturday morning, I think. It was kind of late, and Dave was kind of drunk. And he's like, "Yeah, I watched that piece of shit. What the hell was wrong with you guys?" I'm like, "Yeah, I haven't watched it yet." He's, "What do you mean you haven't watched it yet?"
And I want to remind everybody that this was a title that Tim picked out.
Yes, I did.
This was not something I came up with.
Based solely on the graphic that I found, the poster I found, image I found on Amazon Prime, and I'm like, oh shit, that sounds something like for Dave. And I remember, like,
well, it's
go on.
Well, that's part of it is that. So I get the text, and then, like, I could just see the smile and the glee on your face when you text me the movie that I'm expected to watch and somehow come up with, you know, a synopsis for it for the lovely people that listen to the show, the unfortunate souls, if you will, that that – And it's just that glee, and I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, oh, and it's a whole process. Like, I have to sort of mentally prepare myself to watch the movie. And then obviously, while I'm watching the movie, I can't just watch it. I have to take notes of things that I find ridiculous. You know what I mean? So then that way I can call upon those later.
And you know what? And you know what?
A little peek behind the curtain. And it's not easy.
I was also going to say, that is something I have to give you credit for. You took notes for this. This is something I didn't.
Yeah, you probably just watched it half asleep with a bag of popcorn, just like on your crotch, just watching it. I'm sitting there taking notes, trying to like prepare.
Hey, we have every right to take a break because, you know, Tim and I have been on this insane retrospective that we've been doing for these 80s horror movies from Empire Pictures. So, I mean, it's like...
Serves you right.
Well, although...
No sympathy here. Well, fuck up another tree.
But in all honesty, Dave, last year's Thanksgiving episode where you reviewed Christy, mm-hmm. Not a horrible Thanksgiving-themed horror movie. So we had to bring the thunder a little bit.
I got off easy last year, honestly, because that was not that bad a movie.
It wasn't unbelievable,
but it was okay.
Yeah. Dude, you were the only one that got off easy. All three of us got off easy, because even I was like, I hope this is like going to be okay.
Hey, Dave, Chris always gets off easy.
Oh, by that for a dollar.
Now, Dave, though, but you mentioned about the glee that you could see Tim having by recommending this movie. I could see it, too. In fact, I'll even go one step further. I remember when we were, like, having a hard time trying to find another Thanksgiving-themed horror movie, the illustrious Mark L. Risman politely pointed out to us a little horror movie called Home Sweet Home that and we agreed to do it without even like looking at it. And then when we started watching it, I was like in the back of my head going like in my mind going, oh wow, I can totally see Mark recommending this movie to us in our face with glee. You know, so I mean, like I can envision that with Tim. You know, he found it like literally like just, and by the way, perfect bait and switch. Tim was like totally captivated by the poster. You know,
I wouldn't say captivated. I just knew it was something for Dave to watch.
Well, you know, you stared at it for about 20 minutes.
How did he get? Mesmerized. How did he get the Santa hat on the fin?
But you know what though. See, these type of movie, and this is what kind of I get the concept of these types of movies, that whole making an intentionally bad movie because it's supposed to like make up for the fact that they can't really pull it off as an effective one, so they decide to make it like stupid as possible. And that's sort of become the thing now. I mean, I remember talking about this back when we reviewed Thanksgiving. I was like, is it like that hard for young filmmakers or even people working on the Sci-Fi Channel to like actually sit down and come up with something that, you know, they're going to actually put some effort into making without going down that road? But clearly, I made that comment years ago, and apparently my comment is still being proven to this day. And that is all that what filmmakers want to do. They want to make these stupid, intentionally dumb movies that don't even try.
Yes,
for sure. I mean, they just want to make a film. Everyone wants to make a film.
Well no, I
no matter what the fuck it is.
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's a point where you say to yourself, look, you know, the idea is just so dumb that it would never pass muster. I mean, you just did a review, Dave, pretty much trashing it. So I mean, it's
so here's the
what
thing.
Are you talking about? I loved it.
So
apparently you weren't paying attention.
So Dave, you weren't a part of this conversation Chris and I were having a few days ago, and we were talking about this movie and how it parallels Empire Picture film we recently reviewed about what, 2 months ago, Chris? 3 months ago? Cellar Dweller.
Yeah.
From Empire.
Yeah.
Just basically a quick rundown. Basically kind of the same idea, where they find like this magical pen, in this book, in case a magical book, where it brings whatever this person or whatever the artist brings to life, as long as they chant this incantation or something.
Incantation.
There you go.
Incantation.
Thank you.
Incantation.
I've been up for about a day. So anyway, so
I think you meant to say toilet.
Yeah, that too. So if you watch that movie and you watch this movie, there are similar parallels with a magic pen and this thing where whatever the person draws, it comes to life. And we were thinking out loud, like, well, maybe somebody along the lines maybe watched that movie back from the 80s.
Yeah, but Cellar Dweller actually, in comparison to this movie, you know, has a much faster pace and
yes, it does.
A somewhat more interesting story. As opposed to this one, which I will say this, I like how in Santa Jaws, the magical pen, by the way, it comes in a case written in German, and it's like, what? Why is that specifically important?
The Germans were very magical with their beers and Lederhosen.
Oh, yes.
Very, very magical people.
Yes, they apparently created a magic pen that can, like, grant you any wish you want as long as you draw it.
And Krampus. Don't forget Krampus.
Wasn't Krampus, though, more of a Scandinavian type thing?
He's Scandinavian? Well, it could be German, too. Beer, Lederhosen.
It's very European.
Very European. All right.
We'll just encompass all of Europe.
Okay.
Or Romanian sword fighting, if you will.
Tim, is there such a thing as Romanian sword fighting? I just want to make sure before I make my
statements. You're asking the wrong guy. you can buy a Romanian sword, so I'm assuming there was Romanian sword fighting.
Sims' lovely wife, Christina, Romanian sword fighting is a thing. They just challenge each other to duels. They just carry gloves in their pockets, they slap each other on the face, and the next thing you know, you're in a duel.
Yeah.
That's what Christina told me.
Yeah.
Your lovely wife told me that. I don't know.
That's what
they still do that to this day?
Yes.
Maybe I misunderstood.
Just a little bit.
I think what happened, Dave, is you were misconstruing her information as her when she was really getting tired of your bullshit antics and decided to fuck with you.
Minor traffic altercations take place with a sword fight.
Yeah, and that's the way things should be handled. You know, just pull out a rapier and go to town.
I can't see you mastering that craft though. Dave, I see you pulling it out.
I was the king of Nerf fencing. Okay, I had Nerf fencing when I was a kid, and I would Nerf fence the shit out of anyone.
I don't think Nerf fencing and using an actual rapier is a similar thing, Dave.
Oh, it's the same thing. It's just fun.
Dave, I think it's the alcohol talking.
No, I haven't had enough.
It's not real, it's Nerf.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Dave did a masterful job of literally delving into his synopsis as to, you know, what this movie's about and everything. So, I mean, I don't think we have any, I mean, I think we're all in agreement that this movie's, you know, a giant piece of shit. So yeah. I don't think there's any, unless you guys have any other observations you want to bring up about this film.
I did do some minor research.
Okay, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I watched half an interview with the director. She seems like a very nice person. She was an
nice of you to do some prep. Half an interview. Good job.
I ran out of time.
Well done.
Was the director's name Misty Talley?
Yes, it was. And she's a very competent editor. She's edited a bunch of different things for the Sci-Fi Network, and she it seemed like a very intellectual person, which is why I'm like, what the fuck is she doing with this movie? But you know, she has to pay the bills. But apparently, they shot this movie in 12 days, and you can tell. They shot it.
I thought this thing was shot in 5 days. That's how much this movie fooled me.
Yeah. So,
I thought this one was shot in a couple hours. Just a couple hours. Yeah. Some food.
Oh, by the way, real quick, I want to mention, I just remember this too. I'm sorry, Tim. We'll get back to your notes in just a second.
I remember, though,
they mentioned in the movie that there's supposed to be this big, what is it? Like a boating thing going on?
Boating parade.
Right. Boat parade.
Yeah.
But we don't see any single boat being prepped for a parade in this movie.
That would have gone way over budget. That would have gone way over. They only had budget for a couple boats.
But I mean, like, but I mean, even the uncle's boat isn't even decorated with anything. I mean, it's like, and not only that, but for a movie that's supposed to take place in like some town in New Orleans or Louisiana, the town feels so underpopulated.
Right, and I'm getting to that. Actually, thanks, Chris. It's actually was shot in parts of Covington, Georgia. So
really,
no budget for actors, no budget for New Orleans, yeah. No budget for boats, no yeah. budget for parties. Okay.
So yeah, there you go.
I will say this: the one part I really laughed at was the drunken Santa getting his legs eaten off. Because when he's on the pier, like screaming in terror, and actually walking on the pier, he's literally walking on like his kneecaps.
Right, right. Well, here's the thing: his knees were like what crushed, or they were crushed between that and a boat, right?
Because
a shark like threw his weight into the boat and crushed his legs.
Didn't you pay attention to the synopsis?
We were too busy laughing, Dave.
No, Dave.
It tells you everything you need to know.
I know.
He was wearing an elf costume. Yeah,
I know.
He got his legs crushed by a boat when Santa Jaws headbutted it.
That's right. That's right. But then he uses his weight to knock into the pier, knock the elf into the water, and then he eats the elf in front of the people. Oh, my God. Yeah, that was good times.
I think had this movie, if it went to reach the heights of absurdity, it should have had Santa Claus actually show up and kill the shark. Actually, to go even further, I think it would have been neat if Kurt Russell was somehow managed to be labeled into this.
Talking about going way over budget, they can't afford five boats for a boat parade. But yeah, let's get Kurt Russell.
Yeah, yeah. But they had such a another missed opportunity. Sci-Fi Channel really needs to start upping their budgets. Come on, guys. But I mean, do you have any more notes there, Tim?
That's pretty much the extent of my notes. I ran out of time. I wanted to watch the rest of the interview, but I had other things to do, and I'm like, oh, I'll get back to it, and I never did. But she seemed like a very lovely person.
Like Dave will do the work. It's cool. I'll watch half.
you just fill in the blanks.
Dave, were you ever the kid that, you know, like one day some good-looking girl came up to you and was willing to date you as long as, like, you did her paperwork for her, all her homework?
No, of course not. I'll answer that.
No, the girl would do my paperwork. That's the way it went.
Yeah, because
with your attitude, Dave, that doesn't sound very believable.
Well, you know, Chris,
it totally was.
Yeah, you know, Chris, he's a very sexy son of an elf. Oh, never mind.
I try. Yeah, I try.
You are one sexy beast.
But I guess we're all in agreement. This is a giant thumbs down from all of us.
Yeah, I'd say so, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, you know, I would have given it 3 out of 5 stars. I thought it was okay. You know, it had its moments where it was exciting. No, I'm kidding. It was
like, wait, what?
No, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. But compared to some of the movies that I've watched in the past, it wasn't the biggest piece of shit that I've watched. And I think that therein lies a small victory. A small victory.
Like, how small are we talking about? Like, you know,
we're talking about, like, you know, like thimble. Thimble-sized victory. Like, you're playing Monopoly, you choose the thimble.
Wow, I think you're being extremely generous.
Basically, you just bought Baltic Avenue. It's like the purple motherfuckers that people don't want at the beginning of the Monopoly board for, right, like $5. You bought that, and you're like, yay.
But then
that's the victory.
But then you put up 10 houses, and you can charge, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah, then you put up 10 houses, you can charge $15. Great. Good job. Whereas a motherfucker who's got Park Place and Boardwalk is charging thousands of dollars. So who's winning? Not you. Santa Jaws. Santa Jaws in a nutshell, as compared to Monopoly. Boom.
The fine people at Parker Brothers, thanks you very much, Dave.
Yes.
So, Chris?
No, I don't have anything else to add. I mean, I do agree this movie is just god-awful. And I don't know who else could get any joy out of watching this movie, but if you can, you obviously know how to handle it. But this movie, I do agree, this movie is pretty bad. So yeah, I am sticking with my assessment of thumbs down on that. So,
all right. It's a thumbs down for me, obviously, for all the same reasons. And
but we do give a thumbs up to Dave's awesome synopsis.
Yes, that is true. As always, Dave brings the lumber when it comes to these synopses. Fantastic.
I'm like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I always got my 4.
As I've always said, Dave brings plenty of merriment and myrrh to this to these episodes, and
I don't even know what myrrh means, but I got tons of it. I just got want myrrh, you come to this house, because myrrh is what you're gonna get.
You've got trunk full
all over your face.
You've got a trunk full of Dave, you got a trunk full of it, and you're selling it by the airport.
Hell yeah, I got a proton pack full of myrrh, and I'm ready to spray it all over your ghosts.
Okay, so with that, thanks so much, Dave, for joining us on our season finale. We are so happy that you were able to join us.
No, you guys are welcome. Thank you guys very much for having me. You know, as much as I goof and everything, no, I do appreciate you guys having me on. And it's always fun. It is fun. You know, getting on here with you guys and making fun of a movie, because that is what we're doing.
Yeah, and Dave, I mean, we
it's the little things we live for.
Yes, and yes. Dave, we do enjoy your presence on here so much. Next year, it's good, sir.
Yeah.
Will you be joining us?
Thanksgiving again, Pilgrim.
We'll see. I mean, I got to check my calendar. I got to see what's going on. I think it depends because see, Tim already has something in mind, and that scares me.
I already
told
you.
It scares me a lot.
It should scare you.
Yes. I don't even remember what the hell the movie was called. I don't listen to half the things you say. I just kind of...
Yeah.
But...
Well, you are one of our listeners.
Tim.
We've literally got dozens.
Just kidding.
And...
No,
that was just a friend that Dave is. I mean, she.
No, I'm kidding.
Dave.
But that being said, you know, like at the end of the day, like that, you know, I end up coming on and doing the thing. But
this was fun. Yeah,
this was fun.
It's a dance we do every year. It's okay. I wouldn't expect Dave to say right off the bat.
I would if he loves us so much.
No.
No, I didn't say love. Love is strong. I would say half thumbs up.
And a chub.
So in other words, you're
half a chub.
In other words, you're saying you admire us but from a distance?
Oh, I don't know about that. Myers is awfully familiar. That's awfully familiar. That's a little cozy, Chris. It's a little cozy. Gotta crawl before we can walk, Chris. Gotta crawl before we can walk.
Well, it has been 7 years. You're really dragging your feet, Dave.
I take my time. Okay, I take my time.
Whoa. Let's not rush into this, baby.
No, we can't rush into this. Take your time. Slow and steady wins the race.
I'm just trying to butter Dave up for the day when I will have to sell him for a pack of cigarettes. So,
hey! Tortoise and the hare, okay? Tortoise and the hare. That's all I gotta say.
So, Dave, since you seem to forget, it's the movie's Pilgrim. It's on Hulu.
You're already tickling everyone's ass with a feather.
Next year,
a year from now, that you will not remember, Pilgrim is the movie.
It's on Hulu. Can you spell Hulu? No.
I don't have Hulu.
You liar.
I don't. I seriously don't.
All right, well, I'll let you borrow my password. No excuses.
What's the password?
Eat a dick, Dave. So Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, God.
No, seriously. Okay, so everyone.
Merry Christmas, you guys. Everyone, have a wonderful holiday. Have an amazing Christmas.
Wait, hold on.
Happy New Year.
Hold on one second there, Dave. Before you go, you gotta send us out. You usually come up with some good ways to end the show.
Oh, God. Uh-oh. Well, talk about putting me on the spot. I mean, Jesus Christ.
You know what? That's good enough. All right.
So, oh, Jesus.
I would say the only thing I can say to impart some wisdom
on
everyone.
Wisdom.
Words of wisdom to everyone.
Words of wisdom from Dave Confucius Rodriguez. So
it is cold outside for some of us. I mean, there's those people like, you know, that damn Chris Barreras that's out in California with that nice weather. He doesn't have to worry about cold or snow. But there's us who has to deal. So if you see snow that looks yellow or brown, don't eat it. Okay? Don't eat it. Because it's not going to taste good and it'll probably make you sick. Okay? Don't eat it. All right. Also, mistletoe is not an excuse to accost people. Okay. Be careful with the mistletoe.
Are you
only
speaking
use
from
mistletoe for those that you know will kiss you back?
Are you speaking from experience, Dave?
No.
Yes.
Oh. And make sure that your stocking stuffers are appropriate. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
Well, that's
make
just,
sure they're appropriate.
That's just good advice. Life hack.
Solid advice from your old buddy, Dave. There you go. Enjoy yourselves. Happy holidays. Be safe. Be young. Have fun. Drink Pepsi. Thank you.
So for Dave Rodriguez and Chris Koenig, I'm Tim Keza. Thanks for letting us entertain you. Good night.
Good night, all.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. And a happy new year.
Thanks for listening to THSP. Merry Christmas.
Perfect.